What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. Jack's been a good day, man. We've had some good guests, some great conversation.
Great way to finish it.
And we get to finish it off strong. Oh, your mic.
Great way to finish it.
Blame it on the weed, not his heart.
That's right.
We got a special guest, man, fresh off Coachella, someone we look up to, learn a lot from, and it's an honor to have him sit down on this couch with us, man. Killer Mike, welcome to the show, bro.
I appreciate y'all, yes. Man. Don't let the boy take you too seriously. It's my birthday, 420.
Yeah, celebration, come on, man. Mode, yeah, so we got him a haircut in here. You know what I mean? We took care of him. You know, you came and got pampered. We want to take care of you.
Man,
make
really
sure you have a good conversation. Yeah.
Look forward to, man, what y'all did for me today. My goal is to take to every NBA arena, man. We have a swag shop.
Okay.
To the Hawks
I know
ownership.
About it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's blossoming in State Farm Arena, but I want to be in all of them. I want to be in Dallas.
Talk to us what that's. Explain to people who aren't familiar what that is.
Well, usually, you know, as a man, you go to a barbershop, that's the 1 hour a week it belongs to you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you are a hip woman, because a lot of women come in, get their eyebrows, get their face, that's the place where you ain't got to worry about arguing which points or who's shoving it to not, because you coming in there, you running the floor. Like,
right.
So barbershop's a special kind of culture. It really is a country club of working class men. And I thought that you should be shaved, washed, and groomed there. Total, you know. So me and my wife started barbershop about 19 years ago near the Atlanta airport. It grew to Edgewood Avenue, which is like the bar district in Atlanta. Got invited to go in State Farm. And our aim is to make that 45 minutes to 1 hour a week you get just about you. Come in, listen to dope music, get a shot, get a straight raise, shaver, high towel on your face.
Yeah.
You and your son come in, add to the culture. Next week, you might have a T-shirt with something you said on it. You know, do a profit show with you.
Hell yeah.
It is meant for the people, by the people.
There we go. We got a violator. Yes, we got some cushions. And it's your people, too. So
yeah,
just so we know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to hit the cushions.
If your phone makes some noise, you got to do some cushions.
25, boys.
We need 25.
We'll give you 10 because you're a guest. But yeah, we're gonna
handle too.
No, we'll do it after. We just gotta get on camera. Yeah, we gotta do it after. But you good.
Right, shouts out to Big Bell Lope back there, man.
But the shop is so successful, man. You know, I live in Atlanta. His shot so successful that motherfuckers tried to vandalize it and tried to shut it down just because it was doing so much business and was appreciated so much by the community. They tried it.
Well, it's like your grandma say, man, the devil stay busy. It's a young man, unfortunately, man, who's played with mental illness, and he just kind of cracked. He's kind of fixated on me and a couple other people. But, you know, I just pray for him. But I really pray for him because the community didn't appreciate him, you know. He's not as melanated as we are, so he kind of stand out in the crowd.
Right.
I wouldn't want that to happen to him.
I feel that. We just mentioned you just came back from Coachella.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Man, we haven't been, for 3 years we have been on pause. When I say we, I'm in a rap group. Some people don't know. So it took me 10 years to become overnight success. And I just say that because a lot of times a player, you might go to a team you don't want to be with. Mm-hmm. But you build something in your team. It changed something in your character. It grow you that journey. Then you might pivot and get traded to someone else. So you might bring a championship there and change the culture there. My career was like that. I came out in a real big way with Outkast. And a lot of great things happened to me early. And then I chose to go the independent route. So about 2011, I met a guy named LP. A guy named Jason DeMarco put us together. He was at the Cartoon Network at the time, or Adult Swim. He put us in a room together. He just said, man, y'all should be working. And it turned out to be like putting Ice Cube in a room with Chuck D and the Bomb Squad, you know, with Chuck saying, you should work with the Bomb Squad. And me and L created an album called Rap Music.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 10th year that record came out. That record changed the trajectory of my career. You know, the year before that, I had a song called Ric Flair and Rolling Stone that was like top 50 songs of the year. And I was like, man, you got to keep pushing. That year, that album hit, and it hit in a way like, won't. Like, this is another Killer Mike. It's not just a guy who is a protege of one of the greatest rap groups in the world. This is something new. Right after that, LP and I decided to do essentially what was a mixtape called Run the Jewels 1.
Mm-hmm.
Run the Jewels 1 put us in rooms where we were doing 300 to 500 people, but it was consistent. Then all of a sudden, after a couple months, from 300 to 500 turned into 800 to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
You go back, you do Run the Jewels 2, and now you Run the Jewels 3 and Run the Jewels 4. Brings us to opening for Rage Against the Machine for their reunion tour, which will take us through April of next year. Has us in midday at Coachella both weekends, and it has us marching back out in our own solo shows and festivals. Well, duo shows and festivals. And then 10 years after rap music and 9 years after forming, you know, Run the Jewels, we one of the most toured bands in the world. And it's just amazing, you know what I mean? So I'm blessed, happy to be here. And that's why 420 is going to be a lot more of a turnout with me because we got Coachella after this in a few days.
Beautiful, beautiful. You mentioned during your set, we need to change this country. Can you elaborate on that?
We do. We don't have to fight 20 years to progress 2 years. So there are certain things that we could do. You know, with everyone right now raving, oh, the Biden administration is potentially going to get federal decriminalization of marijuana. Sanders would have did it in the stroke of a pen by taking it off the list. And we need to start insisting that people that we vote for or support from a local level up. So I say a president's name because that gets your attention.
Right.
But who's your prosecutor?
Mm.
Who's your mayor going to appoint police chief? Who's your city council person?
Mm-hmm.
Who's running for Senate right now in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of Georgia. Who's running for Senate? Who are you going to support and why?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to start saying this. Who's running for lieutenant governor? Everyone knows that Kemp and Abrams are probably going to fight it out November to see who's going to be governor.
Right.
But we have a young man running for lieutenant governor named Kwanzaa is running, and Kwanzaa wants to decriminalize instantly.
Mm-hmm.
He's for a more progressive marijuana stance. Well, what does it matter, Mike? You get to smoke. Anyway, you rich, ain't nobody tripping. Yeah, but more than smoke, country folks got land.
Yeah.
You might have 50 acres. You might have 100 acres. We might have 400 acres between us. That qualifies us to get government grants and laws and considerations to start growing hemp.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I never get high again, I'm still going to need some hemp rope if I'm going to tie my boat at a fishing port.
Right.
You know, I'm still have the opportunity to make money. So we should be focused on those things, and we should be pushing the line on those things. So when I say this country needs to change, we can get fast about our shit. You know, where I'm from, if old people told you to do something, you got about the business of doing it then.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or a switch got hit to you then. You might have to walk and get the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying to black folk is, and working class people, period, you need to start requiring the pace that your grandparents required of you when you were a child growing up in the South and mosquitoes bit you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, call somebody country in there. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait. We live in a country where the state still kills people. And oftentimes we figure out it's wrong. So I'm just saying, until we get that perfected, let's not kill people. Mm-hmm. No matter the crime. And trust me, there are people I feel like should be dead. But a man in South Carolina gets to choose whether he dies by electric chair or firing squad, and he chose firing squad. We have a record called Letter to the Firing Squad. What would you say to the firing squad? And that record, I challenge y'all to go listen to it. It's a great record. I think y'all will find some solace and peace in it. But I thought about this 2022, man. And it's a man sitting here deciding, you know, if I'm going to die by... And a lot of people say, oh, man, well, that's right. You know, that's... But, man, if someone in our family has done something terrible, somebody you love has done something terrible enough to die for by another culture's. There are things in Islam you could die for.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in Christianity you die for. Look how the Messiah died in Christianity.
Right.
He hadn't even committed no sins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just protested banks and said human beings are above the state. So when you start to really think about our country, how Christian we claim to be, how tolerant we claim to be, how liberal we claim to be, if you hold it up against the mirror, you can say we probably need to change things about ourselves. And I love the country. You know, my people have been a cornerstone of building this country. So
right.
We talk about me going to Frederick Douglass High School and understanding the importance of that makes me very proud to be a part of the lineage of this country. But doesn't mean we can't do better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm some immediacy.
Mm-hmm. Let's go talk about Atlanta.
Yeah.
You're growing up in ATL. I've been living in ATL 20-something plus years now.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up there, but it's home now. I love the city, but talk to us about Atlanta, your upbringing.
Man. You know how you go on your press, your media runs? You know, you from where you from. So you go on your media runs, you think everything's like that. I didn't realize being Southern was major different.
Yes.
And I didn't realize being Atlanta, you know, intensified some of the difference. Tell y'all something, a lot of folks in the South, they don't bother with wanting to make people to accept them.
Mm-hmm.
They accept themselves. And I don't mean cross
color. First and foremost, period.
My granddad knew who he was. My granddad's about your color, your kind of hair. He knew who he was. He didn't care what you thought of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you insisted too much, you was going to get some pushback. My grandmother,
mm-hmm.
they say when she was a girl, she preferred working in the field. She didn't want to be nobody's cook and stuff. But I realized how much we meant to her, and I realized she cooked for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she said, I have a responsibility to these children. But I grew up in a neighborhood called Acacia Heights. It was founded in 1946 by black people, for black people. Everybody lived there. Dr. King's parents to working class folks like my grandparents. And what I learned was, when Dr. King said the content of your character, I really understood it. Because my grandparents and the people who lived around me didn't give me a boogeyman to be afraid of.
Mm.
You know. Now, we knew we were competing because we got told, you know. Y'all, I didn't have three white teachers my whole life. That's how black my world was.
Mm-hmm.
So we got told very early, you know, their kids in North Fulton, you know, it's called for white folks. And they right now, they're not playing in the classroom. So we had a sense of honor about it. And when I say we, you know, I went to school with 1995 NCAA champion UCLA Cameron Dollar, now coaches up in Seattle. I went to school with Stanley Pritchard, played for Miami Dolphins, Atlanta Falcons. Robert Hicks, my best friend since kindergarten, played with for the Buffalo Bills. Get past athletics. Chief Judge Oscar Jackson of DeKalb County, Dean Raheem Biyah of Georgia Tech. Like, I went to school with some heavyweight kids, right, man. But we was just working class kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a healthy sense of being competent and confident really early. So for me, when I blossomed and got out in the world, I didn't realize how black folks didn't grow up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize the world didn't operate like that. So it took some adjusting for me once I started getting famous, I guess, and started moving around. But it's been cool. It's been a cool ride, man. I appreciate Dre and Big for changing my life because I got into Morehouse. Stupidest thing I could have done was drop out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself, you know, looking around, working at AutoZone, like, shit, dude, my life, man, fucked up. And Toyn, you know, in particular, Big Boy, championed me to Dre and Regina Davenport, who was like their product manager at the time. They gave me an opportunity to change my life, and the ride started. And I've been on a 20-year run thanks to mentorship with people like Pimp and Bun, you know, Ball and G.
Yep.
I just want to show a lot of reverence for people like, you know, Tony Draper, Jay Prince. Like, it's a whole history of when people say, Mike, you smart, you're not like Southern rappers, other kind of country shit they say this. I think that's it's almost insulting because I didn't grow up under the tutelage of some of the greatest people ever. Like, you know, it's, I challenge people to just, man, go back and listen to old Southern discographies. Like, the music has been 100. You've been getting lessons in the music. Like, the shit you could fuck around and learn listening to, you know, even at that time, like what Too Short was saying on records.
Right.
And Too Short was saying, be about your money.
Yeah.
It was like a million. You know, even that one from the South, it was linked. The Bay Area was linked. I think the South and, you know, the Third Coast movement and that stuff had a lot to do with putting me here. You know, I love the music, love my upbringing. Just proud to be here today. Probably stoned and talking a little long, but we kicking it.
No, you're supposed to. We need it.
No, that's how it goes. How was it growing up with young parents?
Oh, man, thank God they didn't raise me. I tell them. I told that lady that boy, Denise. I told it. Oh, the old lady on the other side, Ray, listen, y'all kids out there, fucking man. Hey, man. Hey, slow down, man. Enjoy your life, man. My girl used to say, stay child as long as you can. My dad would say, you know, each child puts you back 10 years financially.
Yeah.
You know, man, so you have to, you know, watch yourself. I messed around. My dad had 4 children. I did the same thing. I ain't mad, but the amount of work I've had to do to support them and the time it took away from them. Like, I'm bringing all my kids out to Coachella for the first time this weekend.
What's the age range?
The youngest one is 15 years old. Her name is Michael. And then I have a son named Pony Boy. He's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 24-year-old daughter named Anaya and a 28-year-old boy named Malik.
Okay.
You know, and the thing about it is you get to working so hard, you miss parts of the growth.
Yeah.
So that's why I just want to tell young men out there, that birth control, boy, see if you can get on county services, get your son for free.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, boy, they'd have birth control when I was, shit, I'd have been a fucking young fucker. But,
hey.
Yeah. I'd have been in the game.
You feel it?
I'd have been a billionaire right now.
Oh, what you talking about,
I'd touched a billion right now.
You haven't counted up what you paid?
Man.
I done paid $500,000 so far. I know that light money for you.
I might pass out.
I done did a half, man.
I got 5 girls, 2 boys.
Ooh, you expensive on the run because you love them, so I know you buy them every
Oh, my God. Please don't remind me, Mike.
But then also got a couple baby mamas, too. That's a whole
That's the whole downfall there.
Yeah, man. You can't. Yeah, I will say this though. We understand the tactical advantage to the advantage when we be advantaging. You know,
no question.
That's how we do. We care. I told my daughter, her ex-boyfriend, I told him, I liked them both as kids. But you know, as a child, you know, you don't never think it's gonna last. Well, you tell them it ain't gonna last.
Yeah.
Because you usually don't, but you're gonna remain friends. But I told him, I said, hey man, I say, now I'm gonna tell you. She in a great situation because she got me, she got an auntie, she got a loving mama, grandma. I say, you mess around, get her pregnant, she going to be straight. I'm here to tell you now.
Yeah.
But she going to get pissed because you got good health. And if y'all ain't together, she going to go down there. She going to put your ass on one of them things where they going to tie you up. You know, I talked to him like a homeboy.
Yeah.
You know, so he, thank God, they didn't never do that. But, you know, I tell my children, stay my child as long as you can. Mm. I don't before you have children because my parents were 16 and 19. When I was born, and my grandparents were 54 and 44.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God my 44-year-old grandmother wanted another child, so I was just hers.
Yeah.
You know, by the time my mom married, I have 2 dads, I'm blessed with 2 fathers. By the time she married my second father, you know, and my grandmother just told him, go figure out how to be a wife, and I'm going to raise him. And then when my sisters were born, she asked that my sisters be able to be raised. And so we've been with our grandparents all right. We had an RV. We got to go to Florida and Tennessee. We got to go on church trips. You know, our mama, man, she was, you know, she was young and working. We was like, man, thank God. We didn't have to be, you know, we weren't latchkeyed or nothing. My grandfather asked my grandmother to, she was a nurse. This is a lot of women I be hearing all of the arguments online, but all my teachers were married to working class men. So all my teachers had degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But the men they were married to were plumbers and carpenters and locksmith owners and stuff. My grandmother was a nurse. My grandfather drove dump trucks, which was good money. You know, you're driving trucks and whatnot. But I just want to encourage us, you know, do that. Do some of that. You know, look outside your level or whatever the fuck that means. Because my grandmother could read, write. My grandfather was functionally illiterate and could count any money just spread on the table. So they balanced each other well. But I remember when he came to it, he said, hey, you know, and this is like, if you watch Snowfall, this is when the crack era was starting to explode. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you here when the kids come out of school. I don't want you gone. And she did that until we were old enough to kind of see after ourselves. But I really kind of learned a lot from them, and I'm glad that I saw that because my parents were so young.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's gonna say, oh, y'all really was good at was fucking and fighting. That's what y'all did.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying?
But my grandparents, I got a chance to see 2 people.
Stable home.
But beyond the stability, I got a chance to see people tease each other, disagree with each other, but love each other.
Love
go to bed
other.
Every night.
Love each other.
You know, love each other. And they were united.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you ask my grandfather, well, I'm going to talk to my wife about it first.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he had his mind made up, you know, and was just going to tell her, hey, this is what I decided.
Mm-hmm.
You were never going to get them, you know, ununified. And I've tried to model my own life in marriage after that. I tried. My wife might disagree some days, but I try my best.
Yeah, we all try. When did music come into play?
9 years old. Fat Boys, Run DMC.
Cool Rusky.
Cool Rusky. Come on, man. I'm talking about, man. Oh, man, I remember, man, I missed the Fat Boys.
The Human Bebop.
Come on, man. I saw a little me. I couldn't break dance. I couldn't figure out the backspin. I was like, fuck this shit. I ain't rerun. So I say, man, I could probably do that Cool Rusky, though.
Yeah.
But when I seen Run DMC, though, man, them black denim suits, which Run the Jewels, we rock, them black denim suits and them chains, and they look like what I was liking outside, I was like, that's it. That was it. And just the whole Def Jam run with what they was able to do when they rolled out LL Cool J.
Curtis Blow.
Man, Curtis Blow and stuff I looked at like my mom's stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So like Salt and Pepper, Curtis Blow, Houdini. My mom was, she was like, she was a hustler. Like,
yeah.
So her and her homegirls, the Fly Girls, she listened to that. But when it came to like just that stuff that was the 808 was hitting, it was
yeah.
really aggressive. I was just like, man, it's me. And then when I heard Six in the Morning,
Six
I was like, this is somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, 6 a.m, police at my door. Fresh Adidas squeaking across the bathroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
Out my back windows where I make my skate. When I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was a movie. And NWA, of course.
Ice-T.
Ice-T. And then when I heard Cube, and then the greatest rapper of all time, Scarface.
Yeah.
When I heard Brad Jordan, my life changed. Like what he encompasses as an MC is so underappreciated.
Facts.
In terms of, he's had a career since 87 and never dropped a whack album.
Never.
Like, not even debatable.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? When you argue Scarface, you argue Scarface against Scarface. I've argued with Scarface about what is his most classic album. We've argued over that. Like, he said, you know, one record. I'm like, nah, fuck that. You got this record, Brad be laughing. Like, how you gonna tell about my music?
Right.
Like, because I'm a fan. But what he was able to do, I used to buy those tapes, me and my boy Mark, man. And Rico and Kim, just to listen to the J. Prince intros 5 times before you let the rest of the tape play.
Every album.
The wisdom you was getting, you know what I'm saying? So as a kid, just hip-hop, at 9 years old, I got turned on to it. By the time I was 12, I turned out. It was what I was about. I was going to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to figure that out.
Yeah, me being from Texas, too, I know how important Scarface is, not only to the rap culture, but to us.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely the god, you know, the golden part in Texas, I mean, as far as rap. And so many rappers that come up now to this day that's way younger than him, if you ask them who is the man in Houston, they all going to praise one
Brad
person.
Jordan, man.
You know
Brad
what I'm saying?
Jordan.
Brad Jordan.
And I have you go to listen to all your top, the people you call your GOATs. Have all nodded to him.
Yeah.
M is nodded to him.
Mm-hmm.
Dre and Big on Outkast nodded to
mm-hmm.
him. Jay-Z is nodded to him. Like, man, the stuff him, Jay, and Beans did, like, I think that every generation should always be reminded to go back and listen to Brad. The same way you may know Coltrane, but you have to be reminded sometimes, go back and listen to that Love Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
So you really understand, like, what jazz can do. You know, go back and listen to some Thelonious Monk. Go back and remember that it's a culture. It's not just a moment. Mm. It's not just what's hot now. There is literally a culture. Boy Meets Girl, man, that record, my wife, me and her ride sometimes, and she plays it. Like, we ride sometimes, we ride in her Benz. We'll play some Sinatra. We'll play some Dean. You know, we'll play some Nat. We try to play some alternative stuff besides just what you're hearing on radio or what even I'm doing. And she'll always, on the ride back, play that Boy Meets Girl, where it's essentially about a strip on the deep web and talking about cocaine and heroin. Man, but it's such a beautiful story. Shakespearean-like, the way he tells it. You know what I mean? And so I think just as an MC, man, he's like high art and fine literature. Even musically, what he's done in terms of producing, in terms of, you know, we know Mike Dean and many of us for the sound he's helped Kanye craft.
Right.
Well, Mike Dean is also the co-crafter of that.
Yep.
The cornerstone of what that Rap-A-Lot sound was when he and Face went in there doing together. So you even hearing Face, in my opinion, you know, his reach going even beyond lyricism into just production and sound.
Yeah, I got two or three songs with him that I spent like maybe 2 days in studio with him.
Man.
And just picking his brain. And we shot the video. Remember we shot the video about Donald Sterling?
Mm-hmm.
And Scarface. So, and nobody wanted to speak about it at the time, but he pulled it out. We gonna do it. Yeah. You're a basketball player. We gonna speak on it. Mm. But he dope, man. Dope. Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's me, Blippi. And this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika. And this is our brand new podcast.
Blippi and Mika's road trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun,
and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You touched on earlier about attending Morehouse. What was that experience like, and how come it didn't last that long?
It was the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time in my life, man. Ambassador Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, man, created a scholarship to me here, all I had to do was read his autobiography and get inspired by it, and I did it, told him what I thought about it, and he and his former wife, his current wife is Carolyn, his former wife is the late Jean Childs Young, who taught my mother and mentored me and was just an amazing human being, as is Andy. They made sure I got in Morehouse. That and working my butt off and getting my grades up my final year of high school. And I met Nacilo Reddick there, who's half of the Beat Bullies, who produced Kryptonite, who introduced me to Big Boy. So I was supposed to be there. You know, I met friends I've had for life there. But I knew after the first year that I was like, this is not what I want to do. Not that I didn't want to graduate more, because I promised my grandmother I would, and I still am. But I was like, I don't want to be doing this now. I really want to be in the music industry. And there was so much opportunity growing in Atlanta at that time. You got Eric Sermon down there, Wu-Tang, fucking had a store down there, Too Short was living there. It was just, opportunity was everywhere. So I was like, man, I'd rather go about the business of figuring it out. Dumbest decision I could have made. I ended up getting a record deal the same year I would have graduated. You know what I mean? So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you're in there, just stick in there, you know? And if you can't get in there yet, just go to trade school, spend them 18 months in there, come out making top dollar and still go. You know what I'm saying? But I really dropped the ball in making that decision. But, you know, I'm stubborn as shit. So once I made the decision, I wasn't going to quit.
Stuck with it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let nobody tell my grandmama, I told you so. Now, so she got a chance to call all her friends and said, I told you so. And say, you see my baby? He got a Grammy, baby. He got you can come see it if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That made me feel good. You know what I mean? Because I know she called some shit for that one for me.
Yeah, definitely. First impression of Big Boy and Andre.
Man, these niggas rich. Big had that Lexus, man. Yeah. He had that Lexus. Dre had that goddamn run that on. I thought, what Dre had? Dre had a Cadillac first. He had like a Land Cruiser or some shit. Them, yeah, niggas was wearing the fucking Jordans. Like, niggas wasn't just wearing. I mean, these niggas rich, man. Like, god damn, these niggas rich. But, you know.
They was getting to it.
I really, man, I'm going to tell you what I really, my thoughts are like. Dre was artsy as fuck. He was kind. He was humble. He was very intuitive. He was a good person in his intent. You know what I'm saying? But you could tell he was like an only child. So he wasn't with too much all the hanging shit. Like, he would hang out, but then he'd be like Batman. He'll fade out. He'll ghost out or something. You know what I mean? So you ended up being around Big in terms of studio and business more. And I got a chance to see, like, oh, shit, this is what it's like to be young and lead. You know what I mean? Like, because he had an opportunity to lead, and he stepped up in terms of business. He got business, I think, before a lot of us did. And whether it was a dog kennel or now having trailers for movie production and stuff, I was always impressed with his maturity from a business standpoint. Both of them were geniuses, money, because Dre's mother, God bless the dead, Miss Sharon Benjamin, was just an incredible woman. And, you know, it took one mishap of some tax stuff, and they both tell the story of going on a run, getting that money up on, you know, and never, you know, falling in arrears of any type. And it was because Dre's mom was just a genius about making sure their business was taken care of. And I watched her do that, and I watched Big mature into a hell of a businessman. So I've always been, it's like Jamal Mashburn. Like, a lot of people can play basketball. A lot of people made a lot of money. But Jamal, watching his interview, seemed to have caught early that this is going to end one day. And I should be planting some seeds right now that are going to grow. So I've always been impressed by that. And from an artistic standpoint, just Outkast as a collective, man, I've always been impressed, and I've used it in terms of being a member of Run the Jewels with, don't let shit define you. Like, I remember Bun calling me, telling me one day, like, the beauty of what y'all boys have is it's undefinable. So do whatever the fuck y'all want to do. Y'all ain't got to be locked in the sound. And that's what I learned from watching Dre and Big together. And I got a chance to watch them together from ATLians forward. And seeing the way they worked, it's just been amazing. And I'm like everybody else. Like, I want to see Outkast tour like the Rolling Stones for the next 30, 40 years or so. I want to be able to take my kids to an Outkast concert.
You think that'll happen?
I pray. You know, all you can do is, as a fan, hope. They did it for us a few years ago, so, you know, maybe again.
Big not just doing dogs. He got owls now.
Yeah, he got owls. He got, I think he got tigers. He got, like, $80,000 French bulldogs. Like, Yeah, like he let's see, seeing ahead of the curve around the corner is an understatement.
Yeah, especially with them dogs.
Yeah, $80,000 dog, man. Mm-hmm. I pay $80,000. They better have a motor.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. And gold teeth.
Yeah, for yeah. real.
The whole world, you won a Grammy for that. How did your life change after that?
Took some anxiety off, like if I'm ever win one, because I won one and I know I wrapped my ass off. Like, that's my thing. Like, mm-hmm. if I would have just been like on in the background, oh, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I rap. I stood up. Folding yeah. on my motherfucking yeah. birth. Yeah. I was in the game. So, but I want more, man. I think Run the Jewels deserves. So, that's my focus now. Like, as Run the Jewels, you know, as Killer Mike, what am I going to do? But that decision to stay in the studio that night showed me anything is possible when you're willing to work. Everybody else went to the strip club, I think. I think everybody else was hanging out, and Big was like, you might want to hang around and see about getting on this one, because I think somebody else was scheduled to get on it. Maybe Gip or something. And I hung around. I dropped the verse. And when they came back, they told me they was keeping it. And something else was supposed to be the single. And then they called and told me it was going to be the single. And Brian Barber, shouts out to Brian, shot the video. And life hasn't been the same since.
Mm-hmm.
I can say with the ups and the downs, you know, there's always been somebody at the front of a restaurant that remembered the video. They liked me. And, you know, so whether I was up or down, this song is serving pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
You had a chance to be on Blueprint too with Jay-Z. How was it working with Hov?
Man, I can honestly say I love the God, man. Hov's solid as they come in terms of the times I've dealt with him, because I appreciate the way he's dealt with me. He's never dealt with me as overused, never been condescending. I remember after we did the verse on the Blueprint too, I remember when he called Big on the bus, said, hey, I want you to jump on this record with me. And Big said, well, you know, I don't know if Dre doing it. He said, no. He said, I want you on the Young Boy. You got over there. Killer Mike do something. So I was like, oh shit. I just went to whatever the flip thing was at the time. I just started writing, you know. Mm-hmm. That was when I still wrote. The verse was probably double that. I just used the section I had. And Shanti Dawes took me up to meet him, chopped it up with him, walked me through his studio, chopped it up. And I was like, I got the verse. I'll drop it when I get back to Atlanta. Did it in Atlanta, popped up, it's on there. But we were in MTV, and I seen him coming, a whole bunch of people around him, you know, and he's not like, you know, fans stuff. It's the people in the office fanning out, like it's Hov in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just letting him walk by. I didn't want to bother him. He said, oh, you ain't going to speak to me? So I put you on my record and everything. It's one of the funniest moments of my life, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I would imagine it's like a vet when you were a rookie, you know, you coming out. I was like, hey, man, you ain't going to talk to your
right,
brother today.
Right.
I was just overcome with graciousness for him. He's always been like that, you know what I mean? So I just, I like Hov a lot. I really respect him a lot. I respect the inspiration he's given other people to become businessmen.
Absolutely.
After winning the Grammy, working with Hov, you dropped your studio album Monster in 2003. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
When you dropped that album, you felt like you had already made it?
No. Because this is I went gold, but this is in the era when people selling 10 million records.
Yeah, going double platinum.
But I thought I had flopped and bun. Mm-hmm. That's when a guy named David at Columbia Records told me about the profit and loss sheet, showed me where I had actually profited. And Bun hit me and said, that's a good thing. You don't want to be in the law section or the label to handle you this way.
Mm-hmm.
So Bun really walked me through a few years of trying to indecipher this. Do I want to stay on a major label? Do I want to? So by the time it came around, I think Virgin made an offer when Jermaine was over there. I walked away from the offer. I think they was offering me like a $120,000 advance and a charger at the time or something, right? And I think I pressed the line on about the charge. Like, shit, y'all ought to get a nigga a car, too. You know what I mean? The lean with it, boy, got a car, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I was just trying shit. I'm like, I seen the other nigga. But they did it, but I really didn't want the deal. And I remember Bear coming to me every day, like, Mike, man, they offering you, like, you know, they put another 30 or 40 on what they was offering you. For this. And I was like, I just didn't want it. And I was like, I think I'd do better doing it this other way. Now, I didn't know the other way was going to turn into the Iliad.
Right.
She was a fucking Greek. Fucking ill, you know, just. I didn't know I was gonna lose people to death. I didn't know one of the first grind time producers was gonna get life in prison, you know. I didn't know that friends was gonna show themselves to be foes. I didn't know I was gonna lose, you know, I'd fall out with my friends who had changed my life with a record deal and take years to me. I didn't know all that. But I can say coming out the other side, getting the opportunity to repair those friendships, getting the opportunity to grow as a leader, to grow beyond what you think a boss is, to really bet on myself and win, and to have the pleasure of telling, you know, one of my trusted attorneys and my friend who says, man, I couldn't believe you walked away from 120 grand. And saying, yeah, that's about what I get on a date now.
Mm.
And talk him just giggling.
Right.
I'm like, so I turned away from a show.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
him being proud of saying, I'm glad you had the fortitude to do it, because it's scary, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. And it's not all, you know, I'm not one to say the labels are bad. I heard Gunna say something incredibly intelligent, man. And he's a smart kid. But you get so used to just hearing him jam. It's a pleasure for me to see him do interviews, because he's a brilliant kid. Him, Thug, Savage, like, brilliant kids. Atlanta, sometimes you be so busy jamming, you don't really realize you listening to a brilliant mind, too. But Gunna was like, man, you look at the label. When he was talking to LeBron, he's like, you look at it like a partnership. They're taking a risk on you, too. And now the artists have gotten more savvy in terms of getting their masters back and things of that nature. Now lawyers are bullying up for that. But well, on LeBron, say, you know, you come to rookie, you take the rookie contract, say, but after them 3 years, you make them dunk. You bring a dunk truck. And that's a take a certain type of confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I had that confidence. Again, I didn't know what was going to take the years it took. But, man, I wouldn't trade it because of the wisdom I gained.
Right.
And on the other side, the person and the human being I am is much more stable with what I have than I would have been at that time.
Where did your love for music come from? Who did you idolize?
Cute, face, in terms of who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's Roxanne Shanté. In terms of my love for music, though, that just come from being Southern. My grandmother would take us to these small Pentecostal churches that ain't got no air conditioning. How does all gonna be? But the rhythm section, the same rhythm section that was playing in the club the night before, you know. The same folks that's playing at the Grambling House, your grandfather got you at the Shy House. So I fell in love with blues and gospel first, because that's what I heard, because that's what they played. And then I fell in love past blues and gospel. I started listening like big band, jazz, things of that nature. But my mom left me a record collection. Like Curtis Mayfield, Isley Brothers, you know. Shaft soundtrack, Superfly. She just left and showed me, you know, how to put it on. And I just sit in a dark room and just listen, and still do so. You know, music is just in my bones. It's what you do. It's whether you're cleaning up, whether you're getting around, moving around, you know, just usually if I get up, the first thing I'm gonna play is some gospel or some blues, and we'll get to rap by noon.
not Jack.
Not me.
Got to shoot him up bang bang on at 6:30 in the morning. I said, Jack, it's too fucking early for this, bro.
UGK, ESTG.
That's gospel, though. I mean, blues. I mean, you talking about pimp. Pimp make tell
me. I stay paid.
Come on.
I live late. Y'all know about Pimp C, man.
Man.
How we come up with the name Killer Mike?
I did. They just not even giving me. I would have been like Fly Fat Boy or something. You know what I mean? I was battle rapping, and a dude named Double D stood up after I had went through about like 10, 11 dudes. Just like, man, this kid's a killer. Say, Mike's a killer. And then next week I came.
Killer Mike.
All the New York dudes called me Killer Mike. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been ever since. I figure I earned it, so you might as well keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard. Who is Double D?
Double D's a DJ, some famous DJ in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, that's Double D. Okay. Then ran through all the strip clubs, man, lit them up, man, and been one of the most famous names of DJ in the last 25, 30 years in that city. We got great DJs in Atlanta, from Funky, DJ Cutmaster Swift, who's Outkast's official DJ, is my homeboy, but we got too many names. DJ Toomp, who created with T.I., Beehive, but Toomp and T.I. created the trap music sound. Toomp,
yeah, DJ Toomp.
The DJ is very important from old Miami culture, of course, Memphis culture, of course, DJ Screw, Houston culture, Texas culture. Like, the DJ is still very important in the South.
Greg Street. South.
Man, come on, man.
The legend.
The legend. Man, my real friend.
Yeah, my
Street will call you at 5 in the morning to give you life advice.
Facts.
Fishing. Oh, man, rest in peace, K-Slay.
Rest in peace, DJ K-Slay, for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad I sent him that verse, man, back in December when he wanted it, man.
Yeah.
What pushed you to join T.I. and Grand Hustle in 08?
That's my friend, man. And I just, you know how you be on your ass for a minute and you start to get up, you're like, man, if I can scale up a little bit, I can do a little better. So him and Jason Jeter, I just asked, man, could I do some distribution through y'all? I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I remember telling Till, like, man, I wish I did this shit a few years ago. And he was like, shit, all you had to do was ask.
Right.
And that's really what I started to really understand, that you have advocates and allies and the closed mouth don't get fed. So if you need something and you know you can do the job, just ask. You know what I mean? And Tip has been a friend for over 20 years at this point, but that really taught me, you know what I mean? And if you're in need, man, ask your friend.
How cool was it to get your pistol and your fist gesture in the Marvel comic artwork?
That shit was dope as fuck.
Talk to us about that. He said, you see the way he grinned?
Man, forever 12 years old, man. I believe in keeping that 12. You know that 12-year-old, when you 12, 13, I'm sure at one point, you ain't know if you like basketball, toys, girls, yeah. a comic book. You didn't know what the fuck you liked the most. You were just like, all these things light my fire. Mm-hmm. So really for with the comics, it's like that for me, L, man. Like to be featured, man, and therefore like, get the fuck out of here, man. It's like you want to go back and tell the 12-year-old, you, hey, all this shit gonna work out. I promise. Listen,
yeah.
The girl with the big titties, you gonna marry her. Don't worry about that. Listen, the comics, nigga, you gonna be in them. And right, you be rapping, crazy, my right? nigga. So,
yeah, that's dope.
So, man, it's just a 12-year-old with me. Happy.
Yeah, you touched on a little bit more, but I want you to elaborate. You talked about going on tour with Rage, yeah. and that'll start when?
Man, that starts, we out of here in June.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go over to London, I think do 10, 11 dates over there in Europe, and then come back over here, take the continental United States by storm, take a break in the winter, then get back on there and go through next April.
So it'll be a whole year.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank Rage, man. You know, they one of the greatest bands in the world, you know what I mean? So it's comparable to someone saying, well, yeah, y'all going out and opening for our band. So it's a beautiful thing.
I was put in a position with Georgie, with George Floyd, that I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't educated or nothing, but
you
one of those people that I look up to that's always been educated, that always spoke your mind, but the difference between when you speak, you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I just admired you from that standpoint. I want to know what was going through your mind during that whole process. You ain't never met me, but we had texts before through the publicist before, and you gave me some great advice. But what was going through your mind during that whole time?
Again and again. You know, first of all, man, I just want to appreciate you for your transparency through the process. I want to appreciate you for being willing to stand because, you know, people think a lot of times because you don't speak a certain way or you don't know a certain thing or you haven't come up through certain channels, you don't have a right to. Fannie Lou Hamer wasn't taught to speak in college. For you who don't know, you know, Google Fannie Lou Hamer. Mm-hmm. You know, Reverend James Orange, who was my personal friend and taught me to organize, who was played by the brother Omar in the movie Selma. You know, this is who taught me, the person who stood next to Dr. King taught me to organize. You know, brother was a brilliant brother, man, was a statesman, a spokesman, but was salt of the earth, Alabama. And I just say that because you have people like Tesla and Figaro out there that are working their ass off. Mm-hmm. She's right down there in Houston right now. Yeah. You know, she's Air Force trained veteran.
I'm a big fan of her.
And she's solid to earth and speaking, educated. You know, she can talk up or down, however you want to do it.
However you want
it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the brother Crump's doing his thing. But Tesla, I'm particularly, I look at because she's a person that we need to be surrounding like Deborah in the Bible.
Right.
When she starts talking, we all need to be paying attention. We all need to be supporting her. Because the beautiful thing about brothers like you stepping up and bringing the capital you bring from being an admired athlete is, if you look at this like Rome, you look at a movie like Gladiator, the people that are running us are the people that are the Caesars and the senators. If you notice, they clothes don't get dirty. They don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're an oligarchy. Look that word up in this country. We are the people in the stands cheering for you guys on the behalf of whatever nation state. Kill them. We're in Texas. Kill them. We're in Georgia. Who runs the Southeast Conference? All that shit. But oftentimes, the oligarchy of that class tries to get us to forget your individuality.
Hmm.
You're just supposed to be beast and a member of a team that I'm cheering for blood for. But what you do, what Jim Brown did, you know, what athletes do when they do this is they stand up and they bring the attention and focus to what needs to be focused on. And then what we have to do is what they did in the 60s, what they did as far back as wrong, and what we should be doing now is after we say our truth, that this is wrong, something must be done about it, pass that motherfucker like a no-look to people like Tesla. Because she has the facts,
she has the stats,
she has the numbers, and she's going to nail their motherfucking ass to the cross with it. Because that's what organizing is. You are a mobilizer. You're supposed to be there. Your heart and conscience told you to be there, and you're doing the exact same thing that Dr. King did when he had become so big, he couldn't be there on a weekly meeting every week. That's what SNCC was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Stokely Carmichael, John Lewis was doing. King was going around rallying, making sure bread was getting bread for the bread basket, making sure that numbers were up in other places. Still organizing, but his part of it was the mobilization of getting people there. And that's what your presence does. That's what your voice does. And that's why we need more athletes to be properly informed by the people who do the work first.
Right.
So get informed by your Teslans, get informed by your organizations that are doing the work. then we know what our points are to say, us as athletes and entertainers, we say that, and then we pass that ball like a no-look to the people who are supposed to be leading the way. Yeah. So I think you did an amazing job. Like, and I've always wanted to tell you that, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like, sure.
You know, you don't know, you brought a seriousness to it that didn't allow people throughout the South to bullshit and people paid attention, you know? And I say that because where we from, we've seen that a lot more.
A lot, yeah.
Than people, you know.
That means a lot, bro, because, like, you know Bun, and Bun sent me some important words. He sent me a text before I went to Minnesota, and he was like, everything you've been through built you for this moment. And he wasn't just talking about Port Arthur. He was talking about the brawl. Everything.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So just to hear that from guys like y'all who I look up to, it mean a lot.
Absolutely. Well, y'all, well done, man. And everybody, y'all follow Teslin Figueroa. And she,
she's dope.
Yeah, she don't take no shit. Don't say no stupid shit to her. She'll clown you.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows what she's talking about.
Y'all need to get on here. Y'all have
on
here?
Yeah, no, we haven't yet.
Man, y'all got to get. Yeah. She was on the Ghetto Boys podcast.
Yeah, no, she's dope. Yeah, I follow on Instagram.
You say you feel like you have to be politically active.
Yeah.
Why you say that?
Because, hey, man, politics affect me. I pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
Don't we pay about half of it? Yeah. What are we making taxes?
Yeah.
So, y'all hear, man, the athletes makes $100 million. You're like, that nigga bring home 50.
47.
Before you start talking about child support, alimony. Like, yeah, so, because my money pays. My money pays for the suits. So, I want to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And I mean that on a very local level. You know, the best news I woke up to last week was to see the mayor of Andre Dickens, who's from my neighborhood. There really was a groundswell that brought me over to support him. Brother like Zach, who got the restaurant Local Green down there. You know, my man Fahamu Paku, famous artist down there, both friends, was like, check this guy out. Already knew him and loved him as a city council person. Got down with him. I was with Kasim at first. Kasim got knocked out of the primaries, got behind Andre. We got Andre in there. One of the first things he was doing was taking care of parks and filling potholes.
Yep.
Like you don't know what that means to a neighborhood that really came out and for years had been a quiet, peaceful neighborhood. All of a sudden, potholes standing up, your grandmother's mad, your young cousin with the rims mad. But he started to fulfill the promise. You know, he started, and that's a very little thing, but he said he was going
to
do it.
To some people, that's big, though.
That's a big thing, and he did it. You know, when I look at our Republican governor, who appointed a Democrat over a committee that is specifically in charge of making sure that people who are getting out of prison have basic minimum needs so they're not increasing the recidivism rate. That program comes directly out of a black Democratic judge named Asha Jackson, who went to school with me, superior judge in DeKalb County. That young woman created a program to direct people out of jail and through a system over 9 to 12 months that put them back on a course for a solid life. Got picked up statewide because a Republican saw the value in it and appointed another black woman. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's pragmatic. Because locally, you just making deals. You trying to make it work, but make sure the community gets something out of it. So for me, all politics is local. It's sexy to argue over who the president was and who you think is racist and all that chump ass shit. But I'm from the South. We've dealt with a lot of racists.
Yeah.
You know, Lyndon Baines Johnson was a Dixiecrat. Yeah. But in the South, I believe...
Immediate return on that local level.
Yeah, you exactly. I believe that locally that some things can be done that are going to make places like Jackson, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
When you start... Well, Jackson, Mississippi, Jacksonville, Florida. I think you can start seeing those places get more progressive and to become more equitable in terms of money. And I don't mean giving nobody no money. I mean giving us contracts. You know, if I own 10 tractor trailers, I can own 100 tractor trailers. Mm-hmm. And if I can own 100 tractor trailers, I can get the government contract to move oranges up and down Florida's coast.
Mm.
And why shouldn't it be one of us?
Right.
We done was labeled on the farms picking them.
Mm.
Our fathers taught us how to drive a truck. All we have to do is be organized enough to have a collective to say, now, if we make up this percentage of Florida, then these percentage of trucks should be hired by us. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, it'd be 35%. You know, we get less than 2% of the statewide contracts in Georgia now. In my lifetime, I'd like to see that move to somewhere between 7.5% and 10%.
2%, wow.
Yeah. But we got to target those things, too.
Right.
You know, I put up something on my Instagram last week. It was a brick-and-mortar class. All the students in it were white. So that means we should be bringing back brick-and-mortar classes. We should be bringing back carpentry classes and mechanical drafting to schools named after Booker T. Washington, for schools named after Frederick Douglass, for schools named after C.L. Harper. We have to start thinking that intent. When they talk about building infrastructure, they're talking about building highways. They're talking about refurbishing curbs. They're talking about building roads. Your sons, and I'm talking to black people right now, can do this work. Lil Junior may not make the pros, but his strong ass can lay some concrete. And he gonna get paid $100,000 right. or better for doing
right.
it.
Yeah, right. yeah.
He gonna
yeah.
still be able to buy you that car. Yeah. He gonna be able to take care of them children he make because he look like he dressing like a dope boy, even though he going to job. He's gonna be able to have a stable woman in the house and marry that girl he had them kids by.
Yeah.
But he's only gonna do it if we start making sure these boys are in trade school as early as 16 years old.
It's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I noticed the other day, I follow a guy named Mr. Checkpoint and always filmed the police. Good dude, man. Talk to us a little bit about that, because he was so proud when he had you. He posted what you said about him on his Instagram.
Started following this little crazy white boy out of California.
Crazy. Oh,
he's crazy as shit, and I mean that in the best way.
Yeah.
And I think maybe his aunt or his grand aunt or grandmother would feed the meters when he was younger. Mm-hmm. So someone taught him justice early. You know, citizens, no matter what you think of your politicians or government, it is always the government against you to some degree. Well, Mike, what do you mean by that? The government ain't doing that. Anytime you get a speeding ticket and they just say, well, we're going to charge you or pay you for that, that's not about saving lives and making you slow down. That's about adding additional taxes to your life, in my opinion. If we know you got to park to go in a state building, if I got to park to go see to my county commissioner, why do I have to pay?
Right.
I already pay taxes.
Right.
And if you set up a punitive system that makes me have to pay $100 or $25 even because I didn't feed it with $2, you're making $23 off my mistake. So someone in his life was a justice warrior, and he has turned into one of epic proportions. He does everything from feed parking meters to ask policemen why they don't have their video cameras on.
He's a beast.
Police of having to literally come up with counterways. This is me, you know, sitting here just like amazed that he's been able to cause this much rowdiness with just a camera phone, but showing people how unjust the law can be. And not even just the police, the rules.
Because
a lot of times cops don't want to.
Right.
You know, cops just got the right to smoke weed in some place. I think New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of cops didn't feel like locking niggas up.
Yeah.
But you got to make that quota to keep your job.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make that quota to keep your job. So for me, I see a lot of times, it's less about the individual in the uniform and what the power the uniform grants you. The state should fear the people and not the other way around. And right now, we got that turned around, especially in communities that look like
Shout out Mr. Checkpoint and always film the police. Check him out, man.
Yeah, we shout him out from the stage.
Yeah,
man. Shout
he's
out
a good little dude. 2020, you, Ryan Glover, and former mayor Andrew Young founded Greenwood.
Greenwood, yeah.
A banking system. Talk to us how that thought came about and where you guys currently are with the process.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
Well, the cards are rolled out. So if you signed up, your card's going to be coming soon. Please use it. But in the fintech world, everything is coming here. Our kids listen to music here. My kids, you know, PayPal, Cash App, and other fintech things. So Greenwood was a part of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where free blacks went. They built a thriving community themselves, and it was destroyed. And encouraged the destruction by local municipalities and government. And it was this bank, in the spirit of doing for self, created a platform where working class folks, be you black, Latino, poor and working class white people, it gives you an opportunity to have a real banking system in your hand, to have a real bank account. It's federally insured. It gives you an opportunity to build credit. It gives you an opportunity. They're going to roll out a loan system soon. And what it did was Andy went to India. And he got a chance to see, instead of getting paid in paper, women get a card to be paid on. Whereas if they were cashing for paper, they would have punitive things, check cashing places, 20% you get charged. These women, because of the money they saved, were able to start saving silks, saving fabrics, making garments, just creating extra income for themselves and lifting themselves out of the dirt and wretched poverty. And this can happen here. If check cashing places aren't literally swiping and taking, you have an opportunity to save, to put away money. You have an opportunity as a single mother, a young father, the head of a family, to start to build your credit, to start to look toward ownership versus rental. So I just wanted to be a part of something that actually helped our people, helped themselves. Because you can't save and charity us out of the hole we're in. There has to be some real economic interest and viability. That's why I believe in things like reparations. What do they be? When do we get them? I don't know. But until then, what I do know is you can reparate yourself by spending less than you earn, by focusing on by ownership, by not having children before you're ready, by furthering your education, be that college or trade school, and by partnering with other people so that you're not taking all the financial risk yourself. And that's just common sense, working kind of shit.
Switching gears, do you keep up with the NBA?
Yeah, I like it, but I've been on the run, man. We've been rehearsing. I like my guys. I like the Hawks.
How you feel about Trey and the Hawks right now?
Man, I like Trey a lot. I like Collins a lot as well.
Then they're going to get out of this series?
If we don't get out of this series, we're going to come out wiser and come back stronger. You know, I think that we're going to become a better defensive team in the next couple of years. I think that Atlanta hasn't had a true superstar since Dominique. But I also would like to say, man, I want to tip my hat to a lot of old Hawks from, you know. But Jamal just got out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, Joe was amazing. Josh. You know what I'm saying? Josh, amazing. Atlanta and Hawks. So we've had a lot of people of good integrity, you know. Mm-hmm. Trey's something special. It's crazy. He can throw that thing over from anywhere.
He just needs a little help.
Yep. Now, I agree. We mess around with the right small four to two guard, and it's gonna go stupid.
So you do know you do know what you're talking about.
There. Yeah. I don't just get high and route.
You said Kobe's your favorite player. You have any Kobe stories?
Okay, so we Tilt called me. He said, "Hey," I said, "What's up?" He said, "Fat boy, I'm in the studio. Kobe up here. Come meet him." I'm like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." Because everybody who know me know, like, I really loved Kobe. You know what I mean? So I get there, my wife with me, man. You know, I'm a very attractive wife, man. I married a girl, looked like, man, a piece of carrot cake, man. You know what I mean? No surgery needed. She came already assembled, right? You know what I mean? I know she liked tall nigga that can dunk, so I had the hate, you know what I'm saying? That's why I stayed here today. But listen, no, man. Especially you got that good how to, boy. Hell no.
I'm trying to tell you.
Listen. So we in that, I asked the Kobe, man. I say, man, you finna retire? I say, dog, who the? Like, who I got to watch? I say, dog, I'm the dude in the room talking about, he better than anybody. Like, I'm that dude in the. And he said, man, so I'm gonna tell you, this kid I'm watching. He said, he real thin, he small though, if he can stay healthy. Now, for people who saw Kobe on TV, he had on a cape and a mask. But I'm sure you guys can test this. When you seen him, he looked thin.
Yeah.
Like, not frail, but just like, man, I could knock this nigga out. Like, you know what I mean?
You can take him.
Yeah, like, he was thin. So I'm like, who the fuck is he talking about? Because I'm looking at him and I'm really tripping that he's not
huge, man.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, so it's, I'm this much of a fan that I'm replaying plays in my head, like, this motherfucker did that. And I'm a Latrell Sprewell fan, too.
Yeah.
Now, Latrell has some size making the moves, but I'm just like, this nigga, compared to Latrell, he's not even that. And as I'm processing that, he says, man, it's this kid at Golden State, Steph Curry. Mm. And I said, who? And he said, Steph Curry. I said, I've seen him play. I said, but he the one? He said, I'm telling you, he the one. All he got to do is stay healthy. Mm. That day, start watching Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And he has never disappointed since.
Yes,
and that shit was like Yoda telling you about this kid named Luke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's going to walk the sky, trust me. So Kobe, man, meeting Kobe was a big deal. And then when it was time to take pictures, it was me, him, Tip, and my wife. Just like my wife smiled a little too hard. I said, you know that she really liked LeBron. She don't really fuck. I hate it like LeBron. And she was pissed. So I was like, so? Hey.
You know? Right.
But that he was such a, you know, he was really a, you know, I just believe in heroes. Like, I'm one of those, like, whether it's comic books or parables and stuff, I believe in heroes. And Kobe really was a hero to me.
Yes, he was
a guy who, no matter where you are on the Jordan debate, he had the audacity and the tenacity to want to be better than his master.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about that on some Kung Fu movie shit, mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to be better than his master. That's, you know, the type of self-discipline. Like, I'm still trying to have enough discipline just to do it every day at 8 mm-hmm. in the morning. But the self-discipline it takes to want to be better than your idol, that's some Herculean that's shit.
Different
you know?
Shit, yeah.
And, you know, when they ask MJ about it, he said the only person that can beat him probably is Kobe.
Yeah.
Because he stole all his moves. That's it. Hey, who you got winning the championship?
You think? I don't know. I want my guys to win, of course. I know it's a long shot, but you know, I don't know. But you know what though? If my guys aren't in it, I want to see Chris Paul walk.
Mm, good call.
Like I love Chris, man.
Yeah,
and,
CP. Shout out CP.
Yeah, I hate it when the league blocked him from going out to play with Kobe, but I really think that he defines character.
Yeah.
Point guard.
And, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, he is the point guard. You know, he makes the team better around him. He's clutch when he needs to be. And just, like, he reminds me of, like, when you watch those old tapes of Kareem in an interview or Jim in an interview, just once he done playing, the character, it's some grown man
all
shit.
All in off the court, great leader.
Yeah, I really respect him. I'd like to see him get
That's
one of my
guy.
Guys.
Yeah.
You on the board of the High Museum of Art.
I am.
Talk about that. How did that become about?
Man, Rand Sulfur, who is the director, and Fahamu Paku, who's an amazing artist, they approached me about it 3 years ago, and I agreed. And what was amazing is I came out of Frederick Douglass High School's Arts and Talent Program. Little Yachty's father is a photographer who also comes out of that program. Little John is the person who comes out of that arts program. Mm. Arts program, you know. So it's like it's a big deal because all our teachers wanted us to find something we could attach to and take us all the way, you know.
Right.
So getting an opportunity to be on the education board, not only just on the board, but on the committee that specifically deals with education, to make sure that a museum in a major metropolitan city that has an over 50% African-American participation ship stays like that and grows is just an amazing opportunity. And I think that, you know, you hear what rappers aren't doing from people complaining on a daily basis, but, you know, I think that's something to be celebrated, you know. And not only am I on the board of the high, I make sure my daughter goes to the Apex Museum and learns about African-American culture. Mm-hmm. I make sure when I'm in cities visiting, you know, mm-hmm. we go to the museums. So I'm just a believer that the arts can inspire children. You know, if you want a cheap date or great outing as a parent, go to the museum. You know, take your date to the museum. You know, mm-hmm. test out. Let that curly weave and them lashes be seen someplace yeah. artistic. And take them babies down, man. Yeah. And y'all just grab some Hot Wings afterwards.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You collect Hot Wheels.
I do.
Love for muscle cars.
Yeah, I love.
When did that start?
My grandma, I remember she would take me to Kmart when I was a kid. And if I ain't act no fool, I got a Hot Wheel.
Hot Wheel, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I act a fool, I got an ass whooping. So mm-hmm. I figured the Hot Wheels were the easier way to go. But at my barbershop, when we first opened our shop on the South Side on 3461 Roosevelt Highway in Atlanta, the old shop, the prior shop that had been there, hadn't left the best reputation. So when we were trying to attract new customers, I remember one day just sitting there, me and the barbers, I was like, man, I got an idea. I said, everybody give me $10. I ran to the dollar store, got Hot Wheels. And I said, all your kid customers, when you cut the hair, give them this at the end of the cut.
Mm, dope.
I said, so $1 investment is going to bring you $9 every time. And after that, I just start flourishing, start growing. And then, you know, I love real muscle cars. So, mm-hmm. you know, I put my cars in front of my shops. I just bought about 30,000 square foot warehouse space. We about to do something cool in the car world with that, you know, with this villain. So, you know, I love cars. I love going fast.
What's your favorite?
1997 Buick GNX is one of the ones I'm on. It's $250,000 car now. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to have one before I get out of here. And I think I'm going to finally buy myself a Demon this year. Like I was thinking the other night. I was like, man, I could die. These kids and one I'm going to spend all this goddamn money. I still ain't going to be done got my Demon.
You and Tip opening a restaurant?
Yeah, Bankhead Seafood, man.
Yeah,
50-year-old restaurant. It was the oldest restaurant on that strip of Bankhead. Miss Helen Harden owned it. From Mount Olive Baptist Church. Shouts out to Miss Harden. And we bought it. Tip called me like, say, you say we want to do something together. Let's do it. We got it. We done went through a lot of ups and downs getting cleared. We done went through a lot of fights. But, man, it's coming. And I'm proud of us, you know.
See, I've been in Atlanta a long time. See, it's Hollowell now.
Yeah.
It ain't Bankhead. See, I've been in Atlanta that long. Yeah. I've been, you know what I'm saying, on the west side.
It's yeah, they Bankhead no more.
All the projects and all that knocked down now. You know what I mean? But you got to be from the A to know that.
Yeah, you do. You do. Now, we caught some hell, too. I want to tell athletes and entertainers, man, like, and the lawyers out there, and, you know, in the cities, that we need to start sitting down with some committees and figuring out. To me, in cities, especially through the South, your athletes and your entertainers should be looked at as a wave of potential business people. And mm-hmm. if we partner with them, then we have an opportunity to build businesses and communities and brands that are going to be better. We got a lot of pushback from people who weren't legacy restaurants in the community at some point. Really? The legacy people, the people that have been there 50, 60 years, were like, we're proud of y'all. Mm-hmm. Like the community literally raised you guys. Y'all doing this. And then we got some pushback some other places because of rappers, because of reputation, and because of other things. And I just thought that was shameful because, in my opinion, when people are heroes from a local place, whether it's the athletes that are brought there to perform athletics or the people that grow out of there and perform music, if cities and private sector partner with these people and you create a business class and an economic class that creates jobs and creates more opportunity, you create stronger cities. You create mm-hmm. stronger economics. And I think that we have the potential, again, to create more Jamal Mashburns, more Magic yeah. Johnsons, more Shaquille O'Neals. And if we do that, we'll hear less stories of who lost it all, mm-hmm. and we'll hear less complaints of what rappers aren't doing. But that only happens mm-hmm. when everybody buys into it and everybody does it. So, you know, I want to challenge people to do what Atlanta is doing because yeah. it seems to me that people in Atlanta are cooperating in the way that Andrew Young wanted us to.
2 Chainz doing a great job.
He's doing an amazing job. him and his business partner, Snoop.
Yeah,
you know, shouts out to them. Jeezy, you know, amazing job. So I'm happy to see, you know, even if you look at, man, what Gucci's been able to do in terms of record deals for people. Like, you know, people have been really, really generous with the opportunity. What Thug has been able to do with opera people, you know, and the people that he's helped now opening, you know, Baby's opening restaurants. So for me, man, I just want to see more and more in the plethora of that. And I want to see it in other cities. I want to see it in Memphis. I want to see it in Dallas. I want to see it in Houston. I want to see it in Austin. I want to see it in places so that there's a whole new 50-year economy that's created around it. Like, people see this side of the camera, it's three people talking who entertain y'all. But on the other side of this camera, there are dozens of people
that make the go around
that are making this happen. So that's a bigger economy. And I think that when this country understands, especially when the African American community is strong economically, the entire country is strong economically.
Right. Yeah, that's our Achilles heel. And it's, like you said, it's getting better, but we never learned to do this. We've always been for fighting for ourselves and surviving. Yeah, so it never thought to come together. Together, we're so much stronger.
So much stronger.
But they got to do it, like you said, they got to do it in the hometowns, like where we from, because perfect example. Bun in Houston. No. They show Bun the love in Houston that Port Arthur should be showing him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For what he do. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why people go elsewhere, because they get more love and appreciation from other places than where they come from.
Mm-hmm. But it's amazing, because it comes back, because Bun is he inspired you.
Yeah.
You inspiring someone.
Yeah.
The legacy continues. Right. You know, if you don't have Big Boy, one half of Outkast from Savannah, do you get camouflaged? Do you get a growing, you know, music scene in Savannah? And so for me, man, I just say, man, if you escape in small towns, in your mind, don't forget to go back and glean some inspiration. Don't forget to, like, Edrin James is one of my heroes forever because he has never left. He's always planted and inspired. Whether it was that, he talked about the activity center he started. Three guys who play in the pros now came through that center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, come on, man. That's his own YMCA. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing. What Uncle Luke has been able to do with football in South Florida.
Yeah.
Forget what he did. You know, we often forget what we did, rather, in terms of protecting our First Amendment rights in the 90s. But the amount of young men whose life he's touched through athletics and just, you know, and with athletics, you had to be doing good in school. Right. Just making sure credible young men fit to marry it going out. What Snoop has been able to do. So I just applaud us, man. And I think the more we grow, because we only been free 60 years.
Right.
I only had 60 years of freedom. So, when you think about it, that's not a very long time.
That's not long.
You know, so don't be too hard on ourselves. Let's support the things that we know are going to grow, like Viola.
Yeah.
You know, and let's keep pushing. Shouts out to Al.
Definitely. Man, we appreciate your time. We got quick hitters. First team to come to mind, let us know, but I'm going to let you start.
Okay.
If you could be remembered by any bar or lyric that you ever dropped, what would it be?
I would say the first verse of Untitled, you are witnessing elegance in the form of a black elephant, smoking white rhino on terraces. Mm. Will I die slain like my king by a terrorist? Will my woman be Coretta, take my name and cherish it? Or will she Jackie O drop the Kennedy, remarry it? My sister say it's necessary on some Cleopatra shit. I tend to agree because the thought is so disparaging. My grandmother says no, never that is sacrilege. Then I say, no, I tend to agree because the thought is so disparaging. The Lord give a load, you got to carry it like Mary did.
Mm.
That's why I'm giving honor to all these baby mamas. It takes a woman's womb to make a Christ a Dalai Lama. The world might take that child, turn that child into a monster. The world might take that child, turn that child into a monster. The Lord will take a monster and fashion him a saint. I present you Malcolm X for those that saying that he can't, saying that he won't, when I know he will. But you usually don't know it's you until you being killed.
For real.
Tough.
That was my thoughts of what I thought Dr. King would be thinking as he laid out dying.
That's tough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot right here. You guys have your own unique sound out there in Atlanta. Who is your Mount Rushmore of Atlanta artists?
Oh, boy, it'll be 100 people on there. We ain't just putting four heads, man. The whole mountain going to be like a big super faith.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm honored to be on the cover of that Slam magazine.
Yeah.
But they put us on there like a basketball team. They had me down there looking like a power forward. I got a weight loss goal now.
So. Young Barkley. Including your body of work, one album you can listen to from top to bottom, no skips.
Excluding my body of work?
Yep.
Oh, man. Any and every Scarface album.
I'm going to go with my favorite Scarface album is The Fix.
He always says that. I argue with him. Mine is, I would say, a man made is potentially mine.
Yeah. Made.
One quote you live by.
Man, do what you want to do because you're going to wake up dead one day.
Do what you want to do because you're going to wake up dead one day. Man, that's solid.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Deep conversation, some good tree.
Let's see.
Some drinks.
Say dead or alive. I go Dr. King, Frederick Douglass, Eugene Debs, Patrice Lumumba, and Zora Neale Hurston.
Three women at the table, huh?
Well, Zora was the only one, but I think she's just tough as shit. We'd all be mostly listening to her. And she wrote like a Floridian, so I just love to hear her talk country.
Last question. If you could see one guest on All the Smoke on the show, who would it be? But before you answer, you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Oh, man, I just called Joe Rogan telling me need to do y'all show.
Yeah, we need to do his too.
We need that. He's about to call him right now.
Joe Rogan. Come on with it, Joe Rogan.
I'll see if he'll answer. Let's see.
You can't turn that down.
Don't get no ready to kill the mic. Kill the mic, the pick up the phone. Oh, yeah, Joe Rogan. Yeah, let me call him right quick.
Let me see. I got to see. I mean, he might be working.
Say, tell Joe, we Joe Rogan, the sports podcast. You know what I mean? Shit.
Let's see. Let's see you, Joe.
Come on here and smoke a joint with us. Talk about when he said nigga.
Oh, man. Joe done killed us, man.
Working.
Damn, Joe.
So I can ask him.
But I ask Joe. I love to see y'all talk.
So I can ask him if you say nigga or nigger. Which one did you say?
Don't do that to Joe. Joe done apologized and apologized. Hey, listen. I want to say this for him, I be tripping, like, because white folks ain't got that. We used to be taught that the term cracker came from a whip cracker that black people made up, but we didn't make that up. Real white folks made up nigga and cracker. When I say real white folks, see, a lot of folks, if you know about Atlanta, you know about Cabbage Town. Mm-hmm. Cabbage Town, they gentrified before they gentrified any black neighborhoods. Cabbage Town was all white neighborhoods, all poor working class white folks. And the mills would bring them up and use them, pay them in meal money, overcharge them at the store. That means they didn't pay them in American money. They paid them in like a food stamp. So the first people to get gentrified and pushed out the city weren't even black. They was white, but they was poor. They put them out in 95, 96, pushed them further down to Clayton County, places like that. But the term cracker comes from the master class in the South. These real white folks, the folks that was related to the folks they was breaking away from. Mm-hmm. So the people that first took the 13 colonies and shit, a lot of them was cousins to royalty and shit. They just weren't high enough on the royalty ladder. So they were still getting shitted on, so they just found them another land to take. They're like, we far enough away from a military standpoint. Y'all got to cross this ocean. We got most sniper rifles because we armed. Fuck y'all. You know what I mean? We took it. Mm-hmm. But crackers was a term given to those people who weren't cosmopolitan. They weren't very learned. They were gypsy-esque, life moved around. So white folks named y'all crackers, the same white folks that named us niggas. And the thing they had in common is they used cheap and free labor from niggas and crackers. Mm. And because niggas and crackers been fighting so long from everywhere, the South, Mississippi, East Alabama, West Georgia, niggas and crackers predominantly have stayed poor in places like Mississippi, places like Alabama. And now the federal government and local municipalities fight over slave labor to see who's going to cut the grass for free because niggas and crackers still fighting against one another, but we both doing that, fighting for the people that named us both. Mm. And that's the real white folk, or what they would call the planter class. Mm. So that's just for y'all niggas and crackers to know something. I love y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Man, that's a wrap, man.
Thank y'all so
Killing
much,
Mike,
man.
We appreciate
y'all
man.
So much, man.
You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects, man. We'll see y'all next week.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.